But I'm saved and washed in the blood. And I'm telling you, God's been better to me than I deserve. And if you just be honest, He's been better to you than you deserve. I ought to be in hell with my back broke, living next door to you. But I'm so glad that God looked our way. I'm going to preach out of the book of Genesis, but I teach a Sunday school class, and I've been teaching through the book of Ruth, verse by verse. I'm not against using quarterly, but I'm not using quarterly. My family's going verse by verse and studying myself for my own personal study. And I got to studying over there where, you can go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 6. I got to studying over there where Ruth was getting that barley, and she was a reaper. She was not a gleaner. And the gleaners would get the stalks, and all the reapers would do was to come behind the gleaners and gather up the fragments that remained. And they had I got this from Brother Joe Arthur, my preacher, and they had a day where the first fruits, what they'd do, they'd take their first fruits, you may have heard this, but you can shout anyway, and what they'd do, they'd take that handful and they'd wave it before the Lord, thanking the Lord for His blessings on that year. And here's Ruth the Moabitess. All she's known about God is the judgment of God with Elimelech and Naomi. But now she's gleaning, and she's not going to be able to get a handful being a reaper. The only way she can get a handful is to be a gleaner. But she's not. So you know what Boaz done? Boaz said, let's fall some handfuls on purpose. And I see old Ruth over there on the day of first fruit. She's seeing all those people waving their offering for God, and she's never had nothing to thank God for. That'll hit you in a minute. She's never had nothing to thank God for. But I see her, she's got that handful and tears are running down her face. She's looking at that setting sun and she's waving before the Lord saying, Lord, thank you for letting me not die in Moab. Thank you for letting me make it to the house of God. Hey, I just want to raise my hands and give Him a wave off for tonight to thank God He didn't let me die in Moab. He didn't let me die in Egypt, but He saved me by the good grace of God. We all just give Him a wave off for tonight because God has been good to us. Amen. Well, sermon number one's over. Genesis chapter 6. I want to say thank you for your hospitality, the beautiful prophet's room, and just very nice. I appreciate your pastor more than you ever know. And I mean that, and I love you, Brother Ken. And I'm humbled and honored to be standing here tonight, and I don't take that lightly. And you pray for us, Lord, help us. Genesis chapter number 6. I want to read the last verse, verse number 22, and then read the first five verses of Genesis chapter number 7. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 22, the Bible says, thus did Noah. Underline those three words, if you will. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said to Noah, chapter 7, verse 1, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by twos, the male and his female. Reckon what the Sodomites would do with that. Verse number 3, of the fowls of the air, also by sevens, the male and the female, to keep the seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and will I cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy off the face of the earth. And I want you to watch the next three words. And Noah did. I don't see anywhere in this text where Noah quit. And Noah did according to, look at this, all. Now, I live in North Carolina, but I believe all means the same thing as it does down here. It means all. Look it up in the Greek, it means all. Hebrew, it means all. So what does that mean? Noah did not quit. And I want to preach on this simple thought tonight on why Noah did not quit. Our Father, we love You. Lord, thank You for the Word of God tonight. Lord, thank You for the portion You've directed my heart to. Lord, I pray, Lord, You help me for the next few moments I try to preach. I pray, Lord, You fill me with Thy Spirit, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'd cleanse me of sin. Lord, that You'd empty me of self and You would fill me with Thy Spirit. I pray for that soul that's unsaved tonight, God, that You'd convict them by the good convicting power of the Holy Ghost and save them by Your marvelous grace. And then, Lord, I pray, Lord, for that Christian here tonight, Lord, they're discouraged and they're down, they're depressed. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd bring them up close to Your side tonight, Lord, in the shadow of Your wings, and let them know that it's not over, and they can go on another mile. In Jesus' name, and all God's people saying, amen, you may be seated. I want to preach on why Noah did not quit. Now, you understand something about me real quick. I'm a simple preacher, and I just want to give you a few thoughts tonight. You know, I think about Noah where it said, and thus did Noah. and Noah did. You know what that tells me? God asked Noah to do a task, and Noah completed it. You know, most of y'all have been in church longer than I have. I'm only 20 years old, and my birthday is in September, if you'd like to send me a birthday card. But I've been in church 20 years and 9 months, basically all my life. And I know you see people, man, they'll get in a good meeting, or they'll get in a good revival meeting, and man, they'll get stirred up for God, and man, they'll get and say, man, I'm going to serve God with everything I got. Man, preacher, whatever you need me to do, if you want me to teach Sunday school, if you want me to work with the young people, if you want me to clean the toilets, if you want me to dust it, if you want me to keep tissues on the pews, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I want to work in Bible school. I want to do everything I can to get involved in the house of God. And let me say, that's a good attitude to have, to get involved in the house of God. Over there in the book of Nehemiah, they said the house of God is worth it. It's worth our labor. It's worth our love. And it's worth us being here in the house of God. But too many times I find that when people, they get started and they'll get going in a task and they'll end up quitting along the way. I've never seen a day where people are quitting like they are left and right. I may be young, and I'm young, and I'm dumb, but I'm telling you, this is not the day to quit. This is the day to reinforce and strengthen the things that remain and keep on standing and not quit. Noah said it may not be popular. Noah said it may not be cool, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to complete this task that God has asked me to do. I've noticed some things by way of introduction. Notice that sometimes confusion will cause people to quit. Man, they'll get in a storm, or they'll get in a battle. Can you imagine Noah as he's in that ark and that storm's raging, it's turning one side and the other, and you know, he could have got confused, but you know what? He did not quit. Sometimes your crisis will cause you to quit. Man, you'll get in that circumstance and everything's going wrong and you'll want to quit, but sometimes your critics will want to cause you to quit. I'm telling you, living for God, you're going to have to get you about 10,000 pounds if I don't give a rip. Hey, I'm telling you, there's people, man, we come to church and I'm all for looking nice and dressing sharp and everything, but we're wondering what everybody else is going to look like and wondering what everybody else is going to do, and we're not going to shout unless this other person shouts, and we're not going to raise our hand unless somebody else raises our hand, and they just want to fit in the mold, and they allow their critics to cause them to quit. I know preachers, they fell along the way, and because they fell, other preachers fell. Some people think, I heard one preacher said, if you're getting, they've been Brother Ken at the pastor tree, if you're getting kicked in the rear end, that means you're ahead of somebody. Yeah, man. I'm ahead of a lot of people right now. I'm telling you, your critics will want to cause you to quit. Some people allow their attitude to cause them to quit. Some people allow their age to cause them to quit. You realize Noah is 510 years old when God walks up to him and says, I want you to build an ark. He didn't say, well, God, don't you know I'm 510 years old? I'm too old for this. He said, I'm too old to try to build this ark. Or we could turn it this way. You're not 510. Or he could have said, you know what people are saying today? I'm too young to do this. I've got my whole life ahead of me to serve God. My goodness, let me tell you, young people, if there ever was a time to sell out to God, sell out now. I'm telling you, this life, hey, I'm telling you, I'm glad I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I drove 6 hours yesterday, drove 30 minutes this morning to a meeting, drove back, been going all day long. You know what? I like it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I love this whole, I love preaching. I love singing. I love going to church. I'm telling you, the world can have all this junk they want to. I think I'll just go with God. Some people allow their attitude. Some people allow their age. Some people will allow their ability to cause him to quit. Or their lack of ability. You know, the only kind of ability God's looking for is availability and dependability. I think about that donkey over there in the Gospels where God said, go get me that donkey where the man's never sat. You know what he's doing? He was just there, available. He was just available. He was there. Hey, God can't speak to you if you ain't here. People say, is it okay if I take my coat off? It's alright, it's hot. Praise God. Hey, we've been at our church 6 years, and Brother Ken's been, we got a great church, and I started working with the young people a little bit, but you know what I find? It's not the young people that give the problems with the youth group. It's the parents. I'll have parents stand up on Wednesday night and say, "Preacher, pray for my daughter. I want to serve God for everything I have." By the way, won't be a revival meeting next week. She's got ballerina practice. I want God to use my boy, but we won't be here Friday night because it's Friday night football. I know where I'm at. Go Dogs, hallelujah. But they want, and what gets me, they won't, it's bad. We got this one girl, man, she's got on fire for God. And God saved her, and God changed her life. She was in this gothic crowd, and God's doing a work in her life. And she's got a brother that's as wicked as the devil. And the mom and dad are good Christians. They can't bring the girl to church, but they take the boy to all them wicked parties. And they'll stand up, "I want God to use my children, my hind leg." Honest to God, this ain't in the outline, but this is, I'm just trying to follow the Holy Ghost. They allowed their ability to cause them to quit. Hey, I'm telling you, young people, there was a time to send unto your man of God and say, "Feed me, feed me, feed me." We got to get to the point where we want to be available for God to use. People allow their friends, their family. I go on like their friends, their family, or their finances to cause them to quit. But I want you to look at three or four reasons tonight, and we'll be through on why Noah didn't quit. There was always some things in Noah's life that caused him not to quit. I noticed, number one, Noah did not quit, number one, because of the facts. So what do you mean? Well, write this down. Number one, there was a sin problem. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." You realize what I say? I say the sin of man grieved God at his heart. You know what we need to get? We need to get to the point where our sin will grieve our heart, just like it grieves God's heart. There's a sin problem in their generation. Man, I noticed that's modern day the newspaper right there. Yes, sir. I got one preacher said, "Man, when I ain't got nothing to preach on Sunday morning, you know what I do? I go to the mall on Saturday night." Right. Yeah. Honest to God, one walk around the mall, you'll have you a sermon before it's over. Right. We went to the mall the other night, and you wouldn't believe some of the stuff. I saw one boy, he had an earring that was bigger than his ear. Yeah. I wanted to walk up to him and said, "Man, that's got to hurt," but he probably wouldn't have heard me. Right. My goodness. And I'm telling you, there's a sin problem. You know why? It's because mom and daddy's let Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga, Hannah Montana raise this generation. Amen. Well, I just can't figure out why my daughters won't dress right, because you're letting her listen to all that wicked music. I can't figure out why my boy is so wicked and got a filthy mouth. He's letting him listen to that music, watch him movies. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. There's a sin problem. No, I ain't going to quit. There's a sin problem in this generation. No, there's a sin problem, but sentence had been pronounced. Look at it. Verse 7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Right. Grieved him so at his heart that God said, "I'm just going to wipe them off the face of the earth." Let me tell you why Noah couldn't quit, because he knew judgment was coming. I heard a preacher say, "Well, if God don't judge America, you have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah." Well, I only got one problem with that. God's gone. He don't have to apologize to nobody. Nobody. He don't answer to nobody. He don't answer to you, sir, or you, ma'am, or your clique, or your outfit, or your movement. God don't, but I mean, you say, "Well, I don't know if God's judging America." Have you bought gas lately? God is judging America. And it's going to get worse. He said, "I don't know if God's judging America or not." Look what we got in the White House. And look what we got running. I'm telling you right now, if a billy goat would run, I'd vote for him right now. I'm thinking about writing myself in. I'm telling you, there was a sin problem and sentence was pronounced. But I love Genesis 6 verse 8. No, there's a sin problem. and sentence was pronounced, but we noticed that salvation had been provided. Oh, God's looking around earth. And all he sees is wickedness. Can I come down here? My nose is about to bleed up there. All he sees is wickedness. He's looking down. All he sees is wickedness. Every man's imagination is wicked. And all of a sudden he sees, oh no, over there. He sees, oh no, they're living right and trying to do right and raise his family right. You know that King James Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here's an interesting Bible study. The first 26 times the word grace is used in your Bible, it refers to sight. So what does that mean? I have no idea. But I do have my speculations. If you know, I'd really appreciate you telling me. It'd help this sermon out a lot. But I do know when God looked my way, He didn't look with eyes of judgment, but He looked through eyes of grace. That side didn't get it. Let's see if this side will get it. When God looked my way, He didn't look through eyes of judgment, but He looked through eyes of grace. I'm glad on the backside of Bowden, Georgia on a Sunday night, there's a bunch of rednecks that's found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We did not deserve the grace of God. We did not deserve the love of God. We were living in a wicked generation. We were sinners by nature, by birth, and by choice. But oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. I found grace, grace, grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah said, why ain't you, Noah, why are you building that ark? Because judgment's coming. Here's some facts. Somebody at work, I work at Chick-fil-A. And yeah, I eat more chicken, I know. I've done heard all the jokes and I'm the Chick-fil-A cow. I'm not kidding, I really am. Hey, man. Cow by day, evangelist by night. It's just, you know, that's how it goes. And man, people ask me Friday, said, what you doing this week, Montgomery? I said, I'm getting up in the morning and driving to Georgia. I said, you going to the ball game? I said, no. I said, you going to see some friends? I said, well, yeah, I'm going to actually see some family. Some family I ain't never met before. I said, really? I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going out there to sing and preach. I said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to be in the edge of Alabama Sunday morning. I said, what anybody want to go to Alabama for? Roll Tide. Yeah. I don't like Auburn at all, sorry. I got to be with the Bama fans. They won this year, so. That's why I do that. I said, you know why? Because God put something in my heart. I'm fixing to get married in September. Praise God. I'm happy about it. If you ain't, I am. People say all the time, Josh, you're wasting your time. You need to get you a good job so you and Grace can have a nice house, have nice cars, and raise a nice family. I said, I would do that, but that's not what God's asked me to do. He said, what are you doing right now? Preaching. And making chicken sandwiches and in a cow suit waving at people. That's what I do. Noah said, I'm not going to quit because of the facts. I'm getting ahead. Number two, Noah wouldn't quit because of the facts. But number two, Noah wouldn't quit because of his faith. I like over there in Hebrews 11, I marked it earlier. I think I lost my script. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Hebrews, right here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So why is Noah not quitting? Well, I've caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I'm going home. Why is Noah building that ark? He's then caught a glimpse of another country. He's just a hammering away. He had faith. Notice this. He had faith in God's Word. Verse 13 through verse 16 of chapter number 6. He believed that God knew what He was talking about. He believed the Word. It ain't amazing how people, man, they'll make a major decision in their life and they'll go and ask Aunt Susie. They ain't been in church since Moby Dick was a minnow. We all go back to the Word of God. Man, there's people attacking the Word of God on every side. I'm not going to call it a Bible. It's a perversion that somebody's let me look at. It's the newest version that's out on the market now. Guy I work with, he hates as much as I do, and he's looking at it just to see what the idiots are putting out these days. It's called The Voice. You heard about that? The name Jesus Christ does not appear anywhere in it. Jesus is in it, but it takes Christ out, which takes out the Messiah. Thus taking away deity, thus taking away that He is the Son of God, just taking away that He is an ordinary prophet. I don't know if, hopefully you picked up on it already, but I ain't got a Queen James, I got a King James, praise God. Y'all know old Brother Chris Hewitt, he says if the King ain't on the front, if the King ain't on it, the King ain't in it. Amen. Hey, I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm telling you, there's people that died for this book. Hey, I'm telling you, I love the Word of God. Praise God for the Bible. 3 cheers for the Word of God. You say, why do you like the Word of God so much? This is what told me I was lost. It was told me I was a sinner. It told me there was a Savior. It told me there was a sentence. But it also told me that there was salvation. And it told me there was security. And it told me there were sure reservations in heaven. He had faith in God's Word, but then he had faith in God's wisdom. Verse 17 and 18 of chapter number 6. He's saying, behold, I bring a flood of waters on the earth and destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything on the earth shall die. I don't see anywhere where Noah questioned God. Now let me say, it's not wrong to ask God questions. I heard a preacher say, you should never ask God a question. Well, I got one problem with that. How am I going to learn anything if I don't ask any questions? He had faith in God's Word. He had faith in God's wisdom. But then look at this. He had faith in God's way. He believed that that ark was the way out. You know, I believe the church of the living God is the way out. It's not in the Moose Lodge. It's not in the clubs. It's not in any of that junk. It's not in Joel Osteen's crowd. It's not in Benny Hinn's crowd. It's not in Tim Tebow's crowd. It's in the house of God. It's in the church of the living God. It's funny. You call these churches such and such a ministries. They didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my ministry. Say, upon this rock I'll build my church. I'm glad for the church of the living God. He said, why do you like church? Dude, I got to go through my spirit. It's what told me I was a sinner. It told me there was a Savior. It told me that there was a sentence, but it told me there was salvation. Thank God for the man of God that got up the night I got saved and preached the devil out of me, praise God. He had faith in God's way. Look in chapter 7, verse 1, Noah said unto, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou. Now, if Brother Joe's preached this here before, you're going to hear it again. But Brother Joe Arthur is my preacher, and I heard Brother Joe preach this. He said, and I'm giving him an honorable mention. That's what my Dr. Ronnie Sampson, my Bible college teacher, said. Well, if you use somebody else's thing, give him an honorable mention at least. So there it is. But he said, if you just come to my house, if we just go to my house, we just both stand on the outside and I open the door, I wouldn't say, come in, because I'm on the outside with you. But if you come to my house and I was already on the inside and you come to my front door and I open the door, I wouldn't say go in, I'd say come in. Come in to where I'm at. You'll get that about 2:00 in the morning. I'm glad that Jesus said, come unto me. I said, what do you mean? God was already in the ark before Noah even got in the ark. Can I hit one little lick right here? I'm against hyper-Calvinism. You know why? Because this text proves that hyper-Calvinism is wrong. You say, well, preacher, see, I love it. They'll say, well, you see right here, God just chose Noah and his family to be saved. One problem with that. Genesis 7 says that door on that ark was open for 7 days. You know what I call that? I call that a space of grace. Noah had been preaching that flood was coming. Anybody can come. Red, yellow, black, white, they're all precious in His sight. I believe in a whosoever will, but listen close, I don't believe in a whensoever will. I believe the Holy Ghost of God deals with your heart and you need to come. Because it may be your last opportunity. He had faith in God's, he had faith in God's Word and God's wisdom and God's way. Number three, not only he wouldn't quit because of the facts, I'm a hushing, he wouldn't quit because of his faith, but this is what I really want to get to. He wouldn't quit, number three, because he was first. Just chew on that for a second. He wouldn't quit because he was first. So what do you mean? Well, as far as I can tell, God hadn't asked nobody else to build an ark. All I see is everybody's wicked and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and God said, Noah, build an ark. Noah, why are you building that ark? Because God asked me to. Brother Ken, why are you pastoring this church? You know why? God asked you to. Brother, why are you leading that music? Because God asked you to. Why are you teaching that Sunday school class? Because God asked you to. Have you ever get a hold of that? That the Holy God of heaven had a job for you to do? Enables you to do it? And lets you get the credit to give Him the glory for it? Noah said, I ain't nothing. I don't know how to build an ark, but God asked me to. Brother Ken, I don't know how to preach, but God asked me to. I don't know how to sing or play a piano, but God asked me to. You know what? That thing God's asked you to do, it may not get done if you don't surrender. There's many here. God's dealing with you about the call to preach. You realize that you may preach and touch lives and may get saved. And because you're stubbornness, you won't surrender. Get after it. God's dealt with you and you know in your heart. Don't let some man call you. Let that Word of God call you. 2 Timothy 4:2 called me, said, preach the Word in season, out of season. Hey, I'm telling you, notice this. He wouldn't quit because he was first. It was a specific work. I won't take the time. You can read the verse of all the dimensions of the ark. He had to get everything down right. If not, he's going to have a crooked boat. Y'all just built this new wing. I'm sure I don't know nothing except about chicken and making chicken sandwiches and waving at people in a cow suit. But I do know in this process, a level was involved somewhere. You know why? Because it's level and the building ain't falling in. You know, a lot of people need to get the level of God's Word. And level their lives up with it. A lot of people like to level themselves up, and I'm for bylaws and everything, but bylaws will match up with the Word of God. People want to match themselves up to what grandma or grandpa or what mom or daddy says, and that's good, y'all do what your elders say, but y'all level your life up by that book. People come up to you and say, preacher, is this a sin? What they're wanting to do is God's already told them it's a sin, and they want you to put your little stamp of approval on it. He said, I'm not going to quit because God asked me first. It was a civic work, but notice, it was a special work. God asked him to do it. Sir, God's asked you to preach. Ma'am, God's asked you to sing. He's asked you to teach a Sunday school class. Whatever it is, it may be small and insignificant, but God's asked you to do it. Get after it. This is not the time to sit on the side of the river and sing like a tree planted by the river, I shall not be moved. Amen. This is the time to get up and work. No, sir, I ain't going to quit. Said this work was too specific and it's too special. God asked me to do it. Why in the world would God ask me to preach? There's nine preachers on the Montgomery side of the family. Why in the world would God ask me to preach? I have no idea, but I'm glad He did. Because I'm having the time of my life. Brother Larry Brown says, I have more fun asleep than most people do awake. Yes. Just serving Jesus. Hey, I'm telling you, if you don't get another word I said tonight, young people, I beg you, sell your lives out to God. I know it looks like the superstars have it all, But let me tell you something, boys. You don't need to go get on a football field like Tim Tebow to have a testimony and reach people. I just want to know where the boys going to church faithfully. That's all I want to know. I knew that when I heard it. I'm telling you. One guy said, if you say one be a better testimony, do like Billy Sunday and quit football and start preaching. Billy Sunday won more to Christ by preaching than he did hitting a baseball. Before it gets out on me, I didn't say I hated Tim Tebow. My goodness. It's amazing what people get told on you. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade spots with Tim Tebow tonight. I wouldn't trade spots with the richest man in the world. I wouldn't trade spots with Donald Trump and his fake hair for anything in this world. Even though I do like wearing his neckties, praise God. You know why? I don't have much in this world. Not rich. But I got Him. If I have Him, that's all I need. I'm hushing. He was first. It was a specific, it was a special work. Notice this, it was a satisfying work. So what do you mean? Noah enjoyed the benefits of the ark. I can see as that storm's raging, I'll be done here in just a second. I believe God's touching hearts tonight. Noah's in that ark, and can you imagine how it was in that ark with all them animals? Smell and all the sounds and all them women griping about it. Man, that was your chance to say amen. You've done missed it now. I can say amen because she's 300 miles away. Praise God. And they said, Noah, it's hot in here. Noah, it's stuffy in here. Noah, it's just not worth it. And I believe Noah may have took him up to that window. Let him see all that violence and destruction. Said, now look, it may be stuffy in here, but it's a whole lot better in here than it is out there. Young people say, I don't like the rules, and I don't like the standards, and I don't like what the preacher says, the youth director says. Young people, it's a whole lot better in here than it is out in the world. The world will use you and abuse you and leave you to die. You know I'm telling it right. I'm tired of seeing young people that grow up in our churches and they're falling out left and right. Left and right. They get 18 years old and think they know more than everybody else and they run on. I'm telling you, you need to get super glue on your britches. Stay in this house of God. Lift up your man of God in prayer. Be faithful to every youth activity. I don't care if they're having a cockfight. You be here and support your church, praise God. Because it's satisfying being in the house of God, being around the things of God, being around the people of God, serving God, worshiping God. Hey, I'm telling you, stick with God. Stay with the Bible. Stay with the church. Live for God for everything you have. Jesus said, love the Lord with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. David said, bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We have too many Christians living half-heartedly. He wouldn't quit because of the facts, because of His faith, because He is first. But last thing, I'm through. He wouldn't quit because of the followers. See what He mean? I see Noah, if you know about my daddy, working late into the night on that ark. May it got dark, may it got hot, but he had to be faithful. He had to be faithful. And I can hear him think, man, is it worth it? I'm going to quit. And all about that time, you hear one of them boys yawn. Here's a little boy cry out in the night. He said, I can't quit. There's a generation coming behind me that needs me. If you're 21 and under, stand up. Come on, stand up, stand up, stand up. If you're 21 and under, stand up. Grandma, grandpa, adults, you know why you can't quit? Preacher, you know why you got to preach? Youth directors, you know why you got to work with these young people? You may be seated. You say, I'm a young person. I don't influence nobody. I beg to differ. Y'all met the Kirkmans. Brother Nathan and Miss Andrea Kirkman. They're out of our church, missionaries, Utah. They have three little girls, stair-step girls, Shaylee, Malia, and Teeter, that sings. Teeter thinks I hung the moon. I mean, she does. When they're at the church, the first person she comes to see is me. You know why? She's looking up to me. We got a little boy at our church. His name's Zach. Brother Brian Howard's little boy. Zach run up to me the other Sunday and went like this. Had his hair all spiked back like mine. I said, boy, what are you doing? He said, his mama said he walked in the bathroom this morning and said, fix my hair like Brother Josh's hair. And give me a handkerchief to put in my coat pocket. Boy, they're watching me. And they're watching you. He had to be faithful. I'm hushing. He had to be focused. He had to be focused on his priorities. But then he had to finish. He had to finish his job. I can see as they're getting on that, and I'm hushing, they're getting on that ark, and that storm's raging. They've been in that storm, and all of a sudden they landed on Mount Ararat. And I submit the possibility that he was walking higher than he'd ever been before. In the greatest storm of his life, he landed on higher ground. I don't know many of you tonight. I don't know the storms that are represented here tonight. I don't know the struggles. But I do promise you, child of God, when this thing's over, you'll be walking on higher ground than you've ever been before. He didn't come to rest in a valley low. He didn't come to rest on the plain. But he come to rest on the mountain. He said, I've never been this close to God before. He come to rest on that mountain. He looked up. You know what he done? He built an altar. God gave Noah three things. He gave him that dove. That was sweet peace. That dove's flying around and said, everything's going to be all right. Oh, child of God, that storm you're in, let's let the Holy Ghost of God, that dove, sweep around your soul. Everything's going to be all right. Then he got an altar. That was sacrificial praise. God's moving on your heart. You come on while she's playing. I see Noah, he's got done building that ark. And builds him an altar. Gets down on his knees and says, God, thank you for letting me not die in the storm. You're saying, I'm not going to make it through this storm. Ain't that what you said last time? You're here, ain't you? Then he got that rainbow. That was steadfast promises. That rainbow, you look in the encyclopedia, a rainbow is not half, it's a full circle. Encyclopedia says the only way you can see a full rainbow is to leave the ground. John said, and I saw round about the throne. It's a picture of the promise of God. A circle never ends. Thus the promise of God never ends. Hey, child of God, you're going to make it. She's playing. I think about Paul in that storm in Acts 27, landing on Melita. You know what Melita means? It means refuge. That storm you're in, child of God, you're going to land on refuge. You'll be walking on higher ground than you've ever been before. We're standing over the building, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I believe God's touched hearts tonight. Why don't you come down here? So I can pray in my seat. I know you can, but why don't you humble yourself before God? That's right, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Why don't you come and say, God, help me through this. Help me not to quit. For the sake of those behind me, help me not to quit. That's right. Come on. Come on. People are coming. People are coming. More need to come. Hey, if you're lost here tonight, I'm not really preaching to the lost tonight, but if you're lost, God will save you. That's right. Some of y'all have together your families down here on the altar. Say, God, help us not to quit. Help us to stay fervent. Help us to stay steadfast. Always abound in the work of the Lord. She's going to sing in just a moment whatever God's laid on her heart. I beg you, do business with God tonight. Father, I preach the Word of God tonight as you've asked me. And I pray, Lord, you'd take my few scattered thoughts and, Lord, you apply them to our lives. Help us not to quit. But, Lord, help us to get super glue on our britches. Help us to stand tall. Help us to stay fervent. And, Lord, eventually we're going to land on higher ground. Higher than we've ever been before. Oh, Brother Billy Kelly, you sing that song, we're nearing the shore. Trouble soon will be over, and we'll suffer no more. Lord, until then, Help us to keep on singing. Help us to keep on preaching. Help us keep on standing. In Jesus' name. Amen. She's going to start playing. Why don't you come tonight?